So you're right. I took about a week off after retirement.
A whole 7 days, huh? You got 7 days.
7 days, so it's pretty exciting.
Well, let me ask you this question. Number one, obviously you love the profession. We know that, or you wouldn't have been doing this since 1988. That's a long time. What made you decide, hey, I'm gonna give this another shot or come out of that 7 days of retirement? What did you feel was important?
I think it's just the direction our department had a chance to go, and I wanted to be a part of it. And I felt like when I retired, I really still was going to do something, and this opportunity came up. And so it's something I think I know kind of how to do since I've been doing it for a while. So I was like, you know what, why not give it a shot?
Well, and I think that's the important part as well for people that don't know Chief Roger Kerr's story. He started in 1988, and you started as a firefighter, right? You didn't just parachute into leading the troops. You've been doing this since day one.
That's correct. I started out as a firefighter, riding backwards just like any other probationary firefighter in 88, and then worked my way up through the ranks until I was, you know, up to chief in the Cruzan era for about 6 years or 8 years, I guess 6 years, and then went back to being a battalion chief, which I really enjoyed, but then had this opportunity again, and it seemed to be the right time for me and the right fit, so I'm pretty excited.
Now, the reason I don't want to say job hopping, that sounds like you're just bouncing around, but the fire chief serves at the pleasure of the mayor, correct?
That is correct, yes.
So that's why sometimes these things change. It's not necessary. It's not performance. It's sort of is a political position. Can you explain to our listeners, Chief, how the political side of it works versus running running the fire department?
Yeah. So when you come on, I mean, as a firefighter, you just work your way up through the ranks. Up through deputy chief can come from within the department. After that, the chief is a more mayoral appointment, which you work at the will of the chief, will of the mayor. And so, you know, sometimes when mayors change or administration changes, things change. Some people have different ideas and have different people they want. And so sometimes that changes as well. And so that was the way it worked out under Cruzan. I had kind of got a little burnt out, and so I had the opportunity to go back on shift because I was still a sworn firefighter, which I took that opportunity. And then, Mayor Thompson came in, asked me if I would be interested, and here I am.
Can you be a fire chief as a civilian? Well, the answer to that is yes, because I'm talking to you right now.
That's correct. You can be. The chief of department is the one position in our department that can be a civilian position.
See, that's why I love talking to you, buddy. I get to learn all these great things. So when people stop me on the street and say, wait, he's not even a firefighter. How does that work? I said, well, it's a political thing. And you've done a great job of explaining how that is. Now, the Bloomington Fire Department here in the last couple of years has had a multitude of issues to deal with. Number one, the 4th and Grant Street headquarters was flooded a few years ago, so that's coming back to life slowly but surely. You've had to make an auxiliary station at the Bunger Robertson property on West 4th Street, down the road a little bit there. We've talked about perhaps the move to the showers at City Hall. All these moving parts, when you jump back in, where did you have to start?
Well, the good part was the remodel at the headquarters station, as we called it, there on 4th Street was already underway. And so that's just been a matter of shepherding that on. Deputy Chief Litwin is doing a great job of taking care of that. We are still currently in the Bunger and Robertson building. The operational people who are here with us will move back into the headquarters building, hopefully around the end of October. And when they do, then the administrative side of us will move over to Showers West.
It's musical chairs. Everybody has to have a seat when the music stops. How important is it for your group? How important is it for our local firefighters to have 4th and Grant Street, that headquarters, open? You never really kind of, when you have a temporary place, you really don't get comfortable, do you?
You do not. It's just kind of like you got stuff. It'll be like kind of like going on vacation a little bit. You kind of just put stuff wherever it fits for a little while, but you know that's not your permanent home, so you don't get really too attached to anything. So we're very excited about going back there. One, it brings some of our firefighters back downtown. Like our truck company will come back downtown, which I think will be a huge asset to getting them on scenes where we want them to be. And then just having that home back that we know is our permanent place to be.
what kind of cool upgrades, or if any, are you doing to the headquarters? Because now you've had a chance in the time to put this back together. Now, that's not it wasn't very old in the first place. That's less than 25 years old, right? But did you have a chance to get some more modern amenities in there? And in the basement, you're not going to be using that anymore, if I think I have that right.
That is correct. They have basically on the where the basement side was at, they tore it off and built us a new three-story addition onto the building we have. I think the biggest change that when people come visit, when we open it up, we'll see is that we used to have a bunk room that would sleep 13, 14 people in like just a dorm style, and now everybody will have their own individual sleeping rooms. So that's a huge change from where we were at in that building especially. And so that's kind of exciting. And then just we have some more space. So we have more kitchen space, more workout space than we had before. And just the overall, the building is just, you know, obviously being updated, but it's a lot nicer and a lot more space than what we had.
How important are those amenities to retaining the firefighters you have and making sure that you keep the numbers where they need to be to keep our city and community safe?
Oh, it's absolutely critical. I mean, it's like anything else, you know, as other departments around central Indiana, you know, grow and build new stations and all this new stuff comes on, you know, people look at that and go, oh, hey, I can go, you know, somewhere else and I'm being a new building with my own sleeping quarters with, you know, high speed Wi-Fi and all that stuff. And so when we had the opportunity to upgrade like we did, you know, you have to kind of keep up a little bit to be able to retain the people we have and then hopefully draw some of those people back to us that maybe we've lost over the last couple, 3 years.
Yeah, that's important because to keep the standards that we've created and had over the years, which is great, by the way, that's the excellent news. Do people understand the general public fully what a full-time firefighter, what a day or a week or a month looks like? Can you give us a little bit of a thumbnail sketch there? Because we all thank you guys anytime we – or at least we should. We should be thanking you because you don't have – it's like Mother Nature. You don't have reservations to say, okay, guys, at 4 o'clock, we're all going to gather and go put this fire out. No, the fire alarm goes off at 2 in the morning, 2 in the afternoon. Tell us how the team works together and how important it is to have good morale and have all these other things happening.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're a lot like a, you know, I almost kind of like a sports team. And so nothing works unless we do it as a team. And so that's very important. So to build that teamwork, obviously you got to be pretty close with the people you're working with. We have 5 stations around the city. All of them have at least a one piece of apparatus in it, which is staffed with 4, but kind of a normal thumb sketch. I think the biggest change for most people is we work a 24-48 schedule. So you show up here by 7 o'clock on your assigned shift day. You know, you come in, you've got chores to do, such as, you know, running the sweeper, cleaning the toilets, getting your gear and your equipment on there is ready. And then, you know, we have, you take whatever 911 calls come in, but when they're not coming in, every day we're here, we have some kind of training that they have to go over. And so you're trying to keep up on the latest training things that's going on. We have some kind of PT, so that you're trying to stay physically fit. They have time to eat. Normally about 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, if there's nothing else going on, things kind of slow down. You get a chance to, you know, if you want to study for the next promotional exam, if you want to read a book, if you have something you want to do, that's kind of your time to do it. And then most of our stations all eat supper together. It's a good time to kind of get to know each other and know what's going on. And then, you know, you get a chance if the alarm doesn't go off, which we hope the alarm never goes off again, to be honest with you, that way nobody's having any trouble. But if it doesn't go off and you get a chance to get a night's sleep, great. That doesn't happen very often. And then you never know what the day. One great thing about the fire service, you never know what your day is going to hold. It could be from nothing. It could be as simple as, you know, somebody's got a cut finger, all the way to you maybe cutting somebody out of a car or going into a burning building or repelling off a rope, or you just don't know what the day might hold.
And that's why we thank you for your services, all of our law enforcement and first responders. We had Dispatcher Appreciation Week a few weeks ago. How important is dispatch in making sure that you and your group are organized and who goes and who stays? That's a big job, isn't it?
Oh, yes. They probably have the one job that I think people don't understand how stressful and behind the scenes without them. We could not do this. because that's where that original 911 call goes. And then they set the wheels in motion. And if they don't get those wheels set in motion, nothing happens. So they play a very pivotal and important role in the whole 911 police, fire, EMS response system. Without them, it just wouldn't happen.
Roger Kerr is our guest. He is the Bloomington Fire Chief here for the Bloomington Fire Department. And I know if we had $1 million, well, it's more than that. Your trucks cost about that, don't they? How are we doing on right. So remember that, folks. If you want a new one, that's what it costs. But again, everything, nothing is getting cheaper. Nothing's going like that. How are you on the equipment side of things? I know at one point we were maybe not as well equipped as we needed to be with maybe some breathing apparatuses and the such. We know every day one piece of equipment or vehicle gets a little older. How difficult is or easy is that to manage?
Actually, be honest with you, from the last time I was in here until this time, it has gotten easier because, the PS Lit money that we have now allows us to keep up with equipment needs where before we didn't have that. So we are in, I would consider to be very good shape with our equipment. We have almost every piece of rolling stock is fairly new. Our SCBAs are up to date. The city and administration has been very good about making sure over the last 5 or 6 years that we have had the equipment that we need and keeping us in it. It's not just buying it that first time. It's making sure that we're on a replacement cycle, which we are. And it's been pretty easy this time actually just kind of keep that going because there is some money there that maybe not had been there the last time.
And the benefit of that for the general public, you say, well, if you've not put out any fires, do we have to have all this new stuff? Yes, because there's another layer of economics behind that. I'll let you explain. That's way out of my territory. But having these proper ratings, doesn't that help insurance and all kinds of other things?
Yes, having the ability to be rated very low on the ISO scale, which is like we're a 1. So if you're in that area, we're one of the few departments that actually have a 1 rating, which means you're a very good department, one of the best, which we are. But it does help. It helps with insurance premiums. It helps with people looking to have businesses in Bloomington that they can have adequate fire protection. So as they make their investment in buildings and equipment and stuff, they know that it's going to be protected to the best ability that we can offer them. So that their investment then is, if something happens, they know they're going to have a good chance of saving that.
Roger Kerr is the fire chief of the Bloomington Fire Department. He joins us this afternoon. Now, Indiana University has a police department. I don't believe they have a fire department. How does that relationship work, covering that extra territory? Well, there's a few buildings and a few people over there on campus, isn't there?
Yes, there is. And that relationship is great. We are their fire department. You're correct. They have a police department, but we are their fire department, and they do help contribute to our annual budget every year to help with the responses there. We have a couple of our stations that are pretty close to campus because of the number of people that are on campus, 75% of the time throughout the year. And then, like I say, they do help. They help pay salaries of some of those firefighters, and then they help us with some bigger purchases. Like we need a ladder truck. They've been very good about chipping in and helping us buy a ladder truck. So the relationship's very good, and we're excited that we get a chance to, help them and be their fire department.
Now, obviously, it's quote-unquote summertime here in Bloomington as the students leave. Do you have a busier season? Is it around the holidays? Is it summertime with what goes on, spring, fall, football season? Or are you just busy all the time, and that's why you need the continued support?
Yeah, I think when I first came on in 88, you could definitely see a downturn like in the summertime. Students leave, things got a little slower. I can say probably in the last 15 years, that has not been the case. I don't think we don't have a slow season. It's consistent pretty much throughout the year. Every day, we're making about 10 to 12, 15 calls a day. And it doesn't slow down when the students leave, and it doesn't really pick back up when they come back. So it's pretty consistent anymore. And so we're busy all the time.
Now, the final question, I saved this one for last because I didn't want to start off this way. Retired for 7 days. What did you do? And what was the determining factor to make you jump back in?
Well, I went on a cruise. And so that was my
That's
seven
good.
Days to get totally away and have a chance to just, decide what I want to do. The determining factor was, to be honest with you, was Mayor Thompson and the way she envisions what the city can be. That was a big part of it. And then the staff that I have here right now and the people that were in place that I could inherit and then the ones I could put where I need them was the driving factor why I was willing to come back and give it a shot, because we have an excellent staff. We've got great people in great places, and it's fun to come to work every day, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to still be a part of it.
One cruise, that's all you got in. All right, good. Well, we're glad to have you back, Chief Kerr. And on the recruiting front, how are we looking numbers-wise? Annually, when do you normally add folks? Is it if you get an application tomorrow, you put them through the process? Do you try to stay ahead? I think that's interesting for people because we read a lot of headlines that say, you know, first responders are down or the staffing's not where it's at. How is your department?
We're doing pretty good. Actually, this morning at 10 o'clock, we swore in three new firefighters. So we're up to, I think we only have like three openings right now. But what we do, we run a process. We will put people through our hiring process. We'll establish a list. And then if we have vacancies this fall and next spring, we'll be ready to fill those with people off that list so that we don't get behind in our staffing numbers. For an example, last summer, we got almost 21 to 22 positions behind. And so we don't want to get back there again. And so we will have this so that we can keep our staffing levels where we're at. And we're very fortunate that when we do a process, we get a lot of good applicants and we get enough to keep us staffed up.
Now that this includes EMTs, paramedics, this is the whole nine yards, correct?
That's correct. Yes.
Yeah. So everybody's in this together. So very, very important times. Chief Roger Kerr is back. What if Mayor Thompson goes 8 years? Well, we don't want to talk about that right now, but that's
don't jump that far down the road.
No, we can't, but we got to make sure that cruise is going to come back around the corner as well. So congratulations to the new folks on your staff. And again, great to have you back. This is fantastic. And you said, October, you believe, for headquarters to reopen?
If everything goes like we are planning right now and they're staying on their construction schedule, yes, they're telling us by the end of October we should be ready to move back in.
All right. Well, let's hope it doesn't rain every day from now until October because it might push back a little bit. Okay, and one more thing before we go, because my good friend Eric Spoonmore would be upset if I didn't talk about this. They're doing the Valor Awards. When are the Valor Awards? That's at the end of the month, correct? And I know there's going to be some folks from your department that are featured there.
Yes, actually, they were last week. The
okay.
Valor Awards were last week. We had a Captain Hinkle was nominated for the Valor of the Year, Firefighter of the Year. And then we had a Captain, well, that's bad. My mind just went blank.
It happens. Welcome to radio. Welcome.
Jeff Hacker, who was the Dave Hamilton Lifetime Achievement Award winner. And so we had a very good representation there, and we're very excited that the Chamber and Northside Exchange has joined together to put that on. It was a very, very nice event and an outstanding event and very humbling and very honoring for us to be a part of it.
And if folks would like to join the Bloomington Fire Department, they just go online at the city's website and apply. Is that the easiest way?
That's the easiest way. And then we also have an auxiliary through our union that is somebody who would like to be a part of the department but maybe doesn't want to be a firefighter but wants to be a part of the auxiliary. There's another way that you can contribute, and through the auxiliary, through our local union, would be a great way to be a part of that.
Outstanding, Chief Kerr. Thank you so much. And I know coming up later in the summertime, touch a truck. That's a big deal. Are we going to do that again? My kids used to love that when they would go out and get a chance to do all that. Is that something that's coming up later this summer?
Yes, it's coming up this summer. I don't know the dates off the top of my head, but it's coming this summer, and we will be a part of it.
Excellent. Well, yeah, you guys got a lot of toys to show off, which is fantastic as well. Hey, thank you so much for your service. Thanks for coming back, and thanks for your time today, my friend. Safety first to everybody, and again, best of luck at moving forward in this and taking us into the new administration. Thanks, Chief.
Thank you.